Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I really plan today to reflect primarily on both the Genesis 3 reading and the Romans reading. I will reread the text from Romans. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. One of the hardest things is to wonder, have I said both the law and the gospel in such a way that the story is clear? We've heard this story of salvation so many times. We've heard the story of the fall into sin. We've heard the story of what Jesus has done. It kind of becomes old hat. Well, we're going to talk about that again. How to try and get across the majesty and the mystery of what is going on in what God has done for us in Christ. The thing that's troubling to me is, how is it that people can hear that story of salvation and be basically unmoved, as if it's really just a story, nothing of any eternal significance? About a mile from here, or maybe a little bit more, is something called the conservatory. How many have ever been in the conservatory? If you have, raise your hands. Where all the flowers are. I liked it better when you could drive up right to the front and walk up three or four steps and go in the front door. I liked that a lot better because then I could drop somebody off and they wouldn't have to go in the cold, because I like to go there in the winter time. And I don't want to walk all the way from the parking lot and everybody else walk with me all the way through the parking lot and then that long sidewalk. But anyway, that's, I guess, for another day. But once you get inside, even if it's 10 or 15 or 20 below zero outside, it feels warm and good and wonderful. What if they had a rule? What if they had a rule that when you come into the conservatory, you have to be wearing summer clothes, shorts and a t-shirt, so that you're dressed for the occasion, no coats or anything like that? And what if they had another rule? If you take one leaf or one flower from any plant, you immediately get thrown outside. And your fingernail on this finger falls off, and you can never come back in there again. And it's 20 below zero outside. One time, one leaf, never again. And outside, it never gets warm. That's what Adam and Eve did. The day you take of the fruit of the tree, you're going to be kicked out of here, which is what death is. Outside of my love and my care. You take that just once. And it wasn't a fingernail that fell off. It was a connection with the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so spiritually, no longer alive, but dead. They knew something was wrong because they went and hid, still in the garden for a little bit longer, but they hid when they heard God coming. We have to assume that before this time, they welcomed it when God was coming to rest at the end of the day and to celebrate the beauty of how the creation was working. Now they hide. Fig leaves to cover what's not there. Not just a fingernail that's missing, but a relationship with God that's missing. And now we find out what the heart of every human being is like because every single one of us are born outside the Garden of Eden. We're all missing that pointer finger fingernail. We're all missing the Spirit of the Almighty God moving us to yearn with everything in our being to love and serve Him, to love those around us. The woman you gave me, the serpent you put in the garden. And now all of a sudden we find out what that empty heart is all about. Not just, well, we try hard to be good and we do the best we can, but hearts beating in all of us who are born outside the conservatory in the bitter cold of eternal death will blame God for it. You threw me out. You tricked me. You put something in the garden to trick me. It's your fault, God. And we live in a whole world that is filled with trying to come up with rules for outside. How are we going to make our way in life outside of where it's peaceful and warm and wonderful? And so anything that God might have designed for inside there, let's do the opposite. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. It's your fault. Get along. She made me do it. He made me do it. They made me do it. It's not my fault. I'm a good person. We come up with our own standard of what life is all about. We come up with our own rules, and we live in an entire world right now that has listened to the way God designed life inside the garden and has said, outside the garden, we want none of it. Throw your rules away. We're going to do what we want. That's not going away. But we know that no matter what kind of rules people try to live under, they still break people, or people break them. There is no kind of guidance, nothing from the church either, that's going to give an outline of how to live life, how to live by the rules that is going to make anything work at all. Because somehow within each one of us is finally the rebellion, the missing fingernail, the broken relationship with God, the freezing out here in the cold, whether it is 30 below or 103, that says somehow life isn't fair, it's not my fault, I'm responsible for no one else, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to leave everybody else to do their thing, And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about anyone unless they can do something good for me. We may rise above it externally, but missing that fingernail, missing that relationship with God, the conservatory, the garden, it's closed. We want none of it. We see it only as a place where hate comes forth. And then, in what is an unbelievable ping-pong game here in Romans 5, Paul says, on this side Adam, on this side Christ, on this side Adam, on this side Christ, back and forth and back and forth, and he says, you know all that stuff that happened as a result of all of us being born outside in the realm of chaos and death under the wrath of God who said, get out of here? The door opened from the inside. God himself came out looking for us out of that garden to bring us God's grace and mercy. And he healed people. Even out there began to start the restorative process a little bit. They crucified him. They kept on yapping the same way Adam and Eve had. It's your fault. Let's get you out of here on that cross and get done with it. Because you make us know what's wrong inside of us, and we can't stand that. We who follow our rules and laws until we die. And we don't want you interrupting it. And the Lord takes the place of all of us under his Father's wrath and then comes out with these wonderful little words, it is finished. My Father's wrath against all of you is done. And now I come to restore in you the relationship that your first parents had, and I declare to you that you are just and righteous and holy and perfect and inside the garden again, because I'm giving you my perfection. There's the fingernail again. There's the heart again. There's the one who says, now you are inside of my gracious love, inside the church, the body of Christ. You count. You count enough that I came out for you so I could bring you back in again into the warmth of life everlasting. And that's the heart that I want to talk to. Our Lord doesn't want to talk to that old heart and say, I'm sorry and I feel bad for you and tough luck. He wants to say to that new heart, now you're mine. Now my heart beats inside of you. When you hear the good news, it's about you. And not just about you, it is you. From the moment of your baptism, or when you heard first the gospel and came to faith, you are mine forever. And now within you beats the heart of one who is warmed and welcomed into my Father's presence forever. The Lord says to that being with the sword, there with me, step aside. And so, when he breathes on the disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit, the deed of Adam and Eve is undone, and the blessings are being given out. When on Pentecost that word goes forth, when through time and space we tell that message of salvation, it's about us. And in our new nature, we yearn to live even here in this broken world as people who are on our way to living eternally with him. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what anyone else does, not just to try to throw rules and laws at someone else that none of us can obey, and none of us can escape from that old sinful nature. We instead say, we've been made anew. We've been given new life, and now we are Christ's. We are Christian. And the faith that he gives us, the trust that he puts in us to believe that, is all we need. And he declares us just and righteous and perfect because our hearts are now once again at peace with him. And so as we live our lives during this Lenten season, we will be tempted, as our Lord was. Yeah, that's fine, but it doesn't make any difference in the real world. And all sorts of other things. Keep that to yourself. And so people will grumble and gripe and complain about others. I don't know how many times as I have walked around Como Lake, I've heard people in discussions about other people. This one does this, this one did that. I'm not getting along with this one, I'm not getting along with that one. That may be our opening. That may be the way when we hear people complaining about others, that even though the complaints may be real and hurtful, that we say to others and to ourselves, there is one voice that comes to us in the middle of this condemning world that never gives us grief. Our Lord says, I love you perfectly. You are holy. You are mine forever. And that we say to each other, we say to ourselves, and we say to those who do not know Jesus, there is one who judges us, who does not find fault with us because he's poured his holiness and righteousness on us. And we're inside his heart and we're in his kingdom, and his is the only voice that matters. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.